Sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches, I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once. I'm roaming and a-travelin' and a-wandering along, and if you care to listen, I will sing a happy song. I will not ask a favor, I will not ask a fee, but if you have yourself a sandwich, won't you give a bite to me? Sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches, I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once. Once I went to England, I visited the Queen. I swear she was the grandest lady that I've ever seen. I told her she was beautiful, could not ask for more. She handed me a sandwich and she threw me out the door. Sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches, I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once. Once I met a pretty girl, the fairest in the land. Young men in the county were asking for her hand. They'd offer her the moon, they'd offer her the sea. I offered her a sandwich and she said she'd marry me. Sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches, I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once. Well, a sandwich may be egg or cheese or even peanut butter, but they all taste so good to me, it really doesn't matter. Jam or ham or cucumber, any kind will do. I like sandwiches, how about you? Sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches, I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once. Sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fine. I like sandwiches, I eat them all the time. I eat them for my supper and I eat them for my lunch. If I had 100 sandwiches, I'd eat them all at once. If I had 100 sandwiches,
I'd eat them all at once.
If I had 100 sandwiches,
I'd eat them all at once.
Veteran of the North American folk circuit and renowned children's entertainer, Fred Penner will be playing the inaugural Kingsville Folk Festival from August the 8th to 10th this year. With more than 30 years of experience and 12 albums and counting to his name, Fred is a giant of the children's music scene who, like all great entertainers, is able to engage adults just as effectively. Whatever he is working on, whether it's recording, performing, or television, Fred's underlying philosophy remains the same. Never underestimate your ability to make a difference to the life of a child. We caught up with Fred on the road in Toronto. So it's great to talk to you today, Fred.
Pleasure for me, Jan. Thank you.
You're coming to the inaugural Kingsville Folk Festival, which takes place in Kingsville, August 8th to 10th. And I know you're a veteran of the North American folk circuit. You're a renowned children's entertainer. My sense is that you really love the opportunity to get up and perform. And I think after 40 years in the business, is that a reasonable thing to say?
I'd say that was quite accurate. Yeah, I do love to be on stage. I remember back when I made that internal decision to become or to attempt to become a performer, you know, to actually get paid for what I do. And I started playing lounges and bars, and I remember that wonderful sense that people actually enjoyed what I was doing, and they, because I'm coming from the 60s. And a folk scene in the coffee house world, and participation was such a critical part of what we did then, and it's vital to what I do now. You know, for any audience that I play with, whether it's the bar circuit from coast to coast, or the family concerts, it's all about participation. It's concept. It's talking about things that are important to me that I've worked into melody and lyric, and sharing that with the audience, and so you get that sense that you actually can communicate something, hopefully of value to your listener.
Well, it's interesting that you describe it like that because I'd like to go back to the beginning and how you started with music, because I gather that you actually taught yourself the guitar in the beginning. Can you talk about the early years of Fred Penner discovering music?
Sure, I come from a family of five. My older brother and sister were into the music of the the 50s. My parents listened to the swing era, the Dorsey Brothers and then Benny Goodman, etc. And of course, lots of classical music. My father loved opera and orchestral pieces. So I had a pretty eclectic range of stuff that I was listening to in my early days, and I have a very good musical memory. So these things sort of stuck deeply inside of me that I can call upon it at will. And I learned to play some piano and some chord organ, sort of upright accordion, from my sister and sister-in-law in my preteen days. And then when I was 15, my older brother was getting married, and to a young lady from Saskatchewan, and we went to the family farm to have a meal. And there, on the back of the door in this prairie farmhouse, was this guitar, and I'd never seen a guitar before. We didn't have one at home. My dad had a ukulele, but not a guitar. And I saw this, and it's like the earth started to move. I just got this great energy inside of me, and I asked if I could touch it, and the father-in-law said, "Oh, you can have it. It's been sitting there for years." So he gave me this old Stella guitar, which was a terrible instrument. The action was ridiculous. My fingers bled within minutes of trying to play it. but it got me started on the road, and I learned the chords. And then, as as that generation would go, you shared licks with friends, and you learned this song and learned that tune, and you watched that, and you picked things up until I got pretty good at the instrument along the way, and it's certainly been my prime instrument for all these years, and I love the portability of it. You know, that you can just take this guitar and you can create a sound, a song, in seconds from your fingers touching the strings. It's always been inspiring to me, certainly.
When did you discover that you had this affinity for children's music, and that children became very engaged when you would play for them?
Yeah, my sister was a Down syndrome child, and so this is pre playing guitar, but seeing how music affected her, she loved to listen to records, she loved to sing, she loved sound in her life. At university, I was involved in a number of organizations that worked with special needs children and in foster homes. And my guitar music was part of my connection with those kids. And then I worked professionally in some residential treatment centers with behavior problem kids and also physically mentally challenged young people as well. And again, the guitar music was just a logical connection with them as well. But I didn't really get a sense that this would be a career path until sort of the latter part of the 70s, my future wife was coming to Winnipeg to develop her dance career, and started a children's dance theater company that led to working with kids and my writing music for some of the productions we were doing, and that energy led to an offer to do the first album in 1979, and so the cat came back. Was born in that time, and that was a connection with Raffi about the same time. So that sort of started the whole ball rolling, and I toured with Raffi for a bit, and then played festivals and concerts across the country in the early 80s, and then the television came. Everything just sort of snowballed from that first recording.
Now I think you had the Fred Penner's Place was the CBC TV show. I think that ran for 12 years. I'm just wondering, do you miss having such a high profile? It must have been a dizzying time to, not just be making your music, doing all these shows across the country, but also doing the TV as well. And I'm just wondering how it felt to be at that stage in your career, and then looking back, how it feels now.
It was such a wonderful opportunity for me, because I had no idea that CBC had been sort of clocking my progress they had been watching my performances at the festival, and they were at a point of wanting to develop a new TV series, a sort of post-Frenzy Giant. And basically they put the ball in my lap and said, what would you like to do for a TV series? And I came up with the concept of Fred Penny's Place and the Hollow Log and that idea. And it was such a great opportunity to certainly connect with every corner of Canada, because CBC was going into every community, and sometimes it was the only station that was airing. And so I just came back from Iqaluit in Nunavut a few weeks ago, and the people there, you know, the Aboriginal folks there, they know me well, because that was part of their early learning. And now that generation who grew up on the music and certainly the TV series are now the young adults having their own families and their own children, or going to university. So that sort of spawned a whole new career for me. The circle is complete, and I don't think that would have happened certainly without the television series. So when the whole CBC question starts coming down, I just cringe, because there's so much value that the corporation is really doing for national identity. There's my rah-rah CBC kick there. But
do you miss that high profile, or do you see it as that was a stage in your career and now you've moved on to other things?
Well, the high profile continues. You know, I am a recognized person in just about anywhere I go in Canada, certainly. I miss the creative process a lot, because it was, I tend to write to task. You know, if somebody calls me up and says, you know, a friend's having a birthday in a couple of days, I can write a tune very quickly. I can put that together quickly, because that was the way that the TV series worked. You know, I'd be on demand to create, and that was a great opportunity. So I do miss that process. It's a little harder to get started and find, you know, find the creative energy to make a tune. But so I would still be doing the TV series if they hadn't decided to go another direction back in the early days.
I think recently you appeared in a stage version of The Cat Came Back, which is probably your most famous song. Do you like the idea of perhaps getting involved in more acting in your career at this time?
Back in the 70s, when I was exploring the world of performing more intensely, I was involved in lots of theater, as well as bar bands and you know, stage performing, and musical performing. I developed acting skills back then that are still coming back to me now. I did a panto with Ross Petty at the Winter Garden here a number of years ago. This coming year, I'm playing Captain Hook in Peter Pan production in Winnipeg in December. I was in Death of a Salesman at the Manitoba Theatre Centre in Winnipeg years ago. So I do want to maintain that skill within myself, and I hope that in the future, it does find a new home along the way. I like the tension that can happen when you're doing a play, because it's truly live theater. I mean, I love live musical performing, but getting into the acting world goes into another zone completely. It puts a pressure and a bit of a strain on your creative energies to pull it all together in real time, and that's a beautiful challenge for a performer.
Now, I presume that over the next few years, you'll continue, as you mentioned, I think at the start of the interview, doing the family shows, doing the bar shows. I'm curious about shows for young people, because I think you've become a bit of a hit on the college circuit as well, probably because a lot of the people that grew up with your songs when they were children are now at college and beyond. and still enjoy the opportunity to hear Fred Penner.
They do indeed. There still is a there still is a cool factor for the Penner guy. I think I've done a little bit of analyzing of that just in my own little brain, and I think part of it is, you know, as you make it through your teen years and are trying to figure out your career path, you know, in your adult time, that you inevitably go back to look at the influences that you had in your life, and there's a bit of, you know, bittersweet sorrow that happens there, because those younger years were so pure and vulnerable and positive. And I think a lot of that generation are excited about coming back to me, because it's a resurgence of that. It's, in a way, it's a little bit of primal therapy, and I like addressing that with them, but also I like to take it to the present. So this is what we had then, and here is what we have now. And I've written tunes that are more contemporary and talk about my energies now and how I'm relating to them now. So it's not just a nostalgic trip, but it's a sort of a continual life connection in truth, because they were such a critical part of my life, and now I want to honor where they are feeling now as they step into the next zone of their existence. And also it really is quite an intense philosophical journey, you know, as well as a musical path.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I saw you at the Mariposa Folk Festival, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember which one. There was a wonderful gospel session you were part of, and I always remember how much fun that was. You know, one of the neat things about your music, and we've touched on it here, is the fact that although predominantly you have been a children's entertainer, your music engages adults just as effectively, which is a way for me to talk a little bit about Kingsville again, because you will be at Kingsville for the inaugural festival. It takes place August 8th to 10th. And you will be on the main stage, I think, on 6 p.m. on the Sunday. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And obviously a wonderful opportunity for everybody to see you. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm looking forward to meeting you in Kingsville in August. I just wanted to ask you about your philosophy, because I found this on your website when I was doing my research for the interview, and I love it. Never underestimate your ability to make a difference in the life of a child. Can you just speak a little bit more about what that means to you?
Sure. It's a pretty common phrase. You know, I think because of my background and having worked with the special needs children along the way, and just seeing truly, you know, on a one-to-one level, how having the confidence to sing something, to connect that with an audience, with another human being, is such a fulfilling thing. I think, you know, very much because that's what I have felt in my life, that music has been energizing and positive and a delight for me to participate in, and to be able to turn that back and try to make a difference in the lives of others through the song and the energy. And it's a pretty simple statement, but it's something that we really, I think, need to hold closer to our hearts as life goes by here. We are truly all in this together, you know, in a philosophical term, in this life, in this insanity that we call life. If we don't take those moments to try and be a positive influence in the people around us, if you don't realize that you have that opportunity, I think maybe that's part of it, is we all have that opportunity every day to do something. And maybe the random act of kindness is linked with this as well, is we can do something that will make another person feel just a little bit stronger. The spine will straighten up a little bit if you give them a compliment. We can clearly make a difference in the lives of others, and in such simple, seemingly insignificant ways. But when we hold on to that truly, I think then this world will maybe start to be a little clearer, and we'll feel better about ourselves as we progress.
That's a wonderful way to move towards wrapping up this interview. A couple of things we need to do before we finish. How do people learn more about your music and your philosophy on life?
I have a minimal website, you know, fredpenner.com, or just doing the whole Google search, because there's lots of interviews that have been done, and it's pretty easy to find stuff on me. Through that social media. I try occasionally to dip into the Facebook world, but I find that really frustrating.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, with your appeal for young people, who knows, you may be doing social media yet.
I keep getting pushed into that direction, and I have four children, and a son is 32, and I'm a recent grandfather from 5 months ago. And three daughters, and one of them in particular is in the business. She's in Los Angeles now in songwriting, and she's stepping up, and she's very much into the social media world. So if I ever need advice, I have lots of templates to go to.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today, Fred. One last thing to do. We need to play a song, and I know what I'd like to play. I'm going to ask you if we can play it.
The Cat Came Back must be played. It's the signature tune that I've played in every concert for the last 30 years. It's a great song. It's from the 1890s. So when we're talking about the folk world, it is probably one of the oldest. It's a great circular tune. The E minor D C B 7 chord progression that is common, and I never tire of performing it, and as you'll hear in this in this track from the Collections album, it's a live piece, and there's a lot of joy and energy in it, and I will be singing it in Kingsville.
That's wonderful, Fred. It's been an absolute pleasure. We look forward to seeing you in Kingsville, and thanks for spending the time to talk to us today.
Likewise, Jan. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Jan Hall for Folk Roots Radio.
Do any of you have a pet waiting for you back at your house today? Gerbils? Hamsters? Rabbits? Different kinds of rodents? Birds? Fish? Amphibians, turtles and frogs, reptiles, lizards and snakes. Do any of you have a cat? Then why don't you help me sing my all-time favorite cat song? The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a nice meow, go. Now old Mr. Johnson had troubles of his own. He had a yellow cat who wouldn't leave his home. He tried and he tried to give the cat away. He gave it to a man going far, far away. But the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me that meow. So he gave it to a man with a long white beard. He said, put it in your sleigh, take it far from here, to the cold North Pole, the wind and the snow. The last sound he heard was ho, ho, ho. But you know what? The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me that meow. Now once a crazy scientist took the yellow cat and put it in a time machine with one small rat. He sent them back 10 million years to the dinosaur and ate. We're here for good, the old rat said. There's no possible
escape.
But you know what? Exactly.
The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me that meow. All right, clap along now. Hit the road, cat. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, cat. Don't you come back no more. Whoa, kitty, oh kitty, you treat me so mean. You're the meanest kitty that I've ever seen. You eat me out of house and home. Well, you better pack your bags and go. That's right, hit the road, cat. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, cat. Don't you come back no more. Where's that meow? Louder meow. Quieter meow this time. Meow. Quieter than that. Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. As quiet.